Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
Our scripture this morning is Psalm 88. It's a dark and sad psalm. And so I invite you, as I read it, to enter into the feeling of the psalm. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. No matter how big or broad-shouldered or barrel-chested you might be, you don't get to go through life unaffected. In the dead landscape of the high Arctic, a muscular man is down on his knees, and his arms are raised, and his fists are clenched, and his body heaves. The temperature is ice, and the forecast is darkness. The man is what you might call a man among men. He is big. He's broad-shouldered. He's barrel-chested. And he is about as strong in body and mind as you can get. But now the man is on his knees, heaving with tears. He is sobbing like a child who can't catch her breath. And he's crying up and he's crying out because he has been left behind. The bush plane that was to take him back to civilization has taken off, and the man will be left in the Arctic's frozen air and deep darkness for 6 more solid weeks, and he cannot bear the thought. He cannot bear the thought of being left for 6 more weeks away from family, away from his home, and away from light. The man on his knees, his hands, you know, raised in anguish, is a hard rock oilman. He works in the oil patch, and he's a tough fellow Irishman of the friend who told me this true story. No matter who you are, no matter how big, no matter how broad-shouldered, no matter how barrel-chested you might be, you don't get to go through life unaffected. Well, Psalm 88 is an anguished cry in the Arctic darkness. Of the 150 Psalms that we have in the Scripture, Psalm 88 is clearly the darkest and the saddest and most troubling. There's no joy here, no thanksgiving, not one single word of praise. With this psalm, we hit the bottom. We come to the end. We enter depression and loss. The dead of winter has taken over and surrounds us and engulfs us. We're at the point where everything looks as black as death. John Calvin, writing in the 16th century of this psalm, he says here that the distresses are so great and crushing that they can bring down the strongest man. I am overwhelmed with troubles. My life draws near the grave. A cave of darkness surrounds me. There's no way for me to see. I'm like a man without strength, like a man who has been struck down with a violent flu and cannot get up. I've been forgotten and left for dead. No one remembers me. There is not a single person who cares for me. This is the way it can be. Even for hard rock oilmen, no one gets to go through life unaffected. Someone has described depression as a mysterious virus of darkness and sadness. Sylvia is a young mother who has just returned home from the hospital giving birth to her second child. After a few days, Sylvia begins to notice that she is experiencing fatigue that is more than normal. Days turn into weeks and Sylvia's fatigue grows. Her mood turns black, and soon it is a month that goes by and Sylvia finds that she cries often. She feels like a failure. She has difficulty coping with the demands of her children and the demands of her home. She begins to lose interest in her friends, in her faith, in her family, and in her once meaningful career. She loses energy to the point where she really wonders to herself if she is able to keep going. She finds herself sleeping a lot during the day. And when she sleeps, her 3-year-old daughter plays beside her bed. Sometimes it can be like that. Blackness and emptiness can strike us like a virus, and we hit bottom. We come close to the grave, to use the language of the psalm. Nothing seems to work. Nothing brings us pleasure or happiness. We can't find answers, and we don't even have the strength to look. In the Christian spiritual tradition, these wintertime experiences of darkness and emptiness have been described in different ways. Some have called it the dark night of faith. Others have called it the dark night of the soul. Either way, these are times when God seems absent. Deus absconditus is the Latin name that we give for this God. It means the God who is hidden, the God who has absconded. The God who has left us alone like an airplane in the Arctic. And so in the Christian tradition, there is the wintertime cry, what has come to be called the prayer of the forsaken, the prayer of Psalm 88. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why have you cut me off from your care? Why have you put me in the lowest pit? Why have you put me in the darkest depths? It's like you're angry with me. You have overwhelmed me. Even my closest friends you've taken from me. And I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I don't understand, Lord. You make no sense to me. Why do you reject me and hide your face from me? In the times when God is hidden, Richard Foster tells us, we can do everything that we know. We can pray, we can serve, we can go to church and worship. We can live as faithfully as we know how, and still there will be nothing. Nothing but silence and empty sky. And being big and broad-shouldered and barrel-chested will not exempt you. Dark times can come to anyone, anywhere, anyhow, anytime. A long time ago, maybe 3 decades ago, I introduced myself to a church that I was going to serve in. And I used these 3 torn and tattered sports jerseys to do it. First, I talked about this jersey, this Chicago Blackhawk-style jersey, and I told them, and as I'm telling you, this jersey dates back to my teens. I used to wear it underneath my hockey equipment. This jersey symbolizes, to me, qualities of faithfulness and loyalty. I still have the jersey. And then there is this broomball jersey in the center, orange and black. You can't really see it in this picture, but it also is torn in many different places, and it has come to symbolize pain and trouble that I've experienced. I was riding my bike once, you know, with this shirt on, this jersey on, and I was biking past somebody, and they called out, "Pit bulls?" Meaning, was it the pit bulls who tore up the jersey? And then there is this last t-shirt, this beach t-shirt, colored in bright yellow, orange, and red. And I call this my Holy Spirit t-shirt because it represents my passion, my fire, my energy, my fun, my gung-ho spirit. It's the shirt that is most me. And symbolically, when I wear it, it fits the best. But in my 6th year of ministry in that church, something happened to me. It was like, you know, somebody came along and unplugged the electrical cord from the receptacle. It was like I was an appliance or a power tool and someone came along and unplugged it. Someone came along and unplugged it, and all of my inner light went out, and my spirit grew faint, and I lost all of my normal energy and passion and fire. I lost my passion, I lost my fire, I lost my ability to care, and I went numb, and I had no idea what had happened and how and if I would ever recover. And I came across a prayer at that time by someone who spoke clearly how I felt. And she wrote this: "I just trudge and forge ahead. No spark of love, no charge of joy, no spiritual energy. Just a dead walk through an aimless winter." I cried a lot during that time because I had no idea how I would recover. The first and most important thing about Psalm 88 is that Psalm 88 most graciously tells us that this is the way it can be. This is how it can be sometimes. This is the great power and truth of all the Psalms. The Psalms, they mirror back to us. You know, they speak back to us what it looks like and what it feels like to be a human being. We see and hear ourselves in them. Times of winter will come. Bush planes will leave us in the high Arctic and God will be hidden. Most of us in some way, in some form, to some degree, will experience the pain and grief of darkness and depression and wintertime cry. And it's interesting, in this psalm he talks about, even from my youth I felt this way. Even young people and children and teenagers are not excluded. The Bible tells us that there are cycles and seasons in life, and there is for sure, you know, the time to laugh and the time to celebrate and the time to dance and the time to have fun. But there are also the times to weep and to mourn and to grieve and to feel the darkness. So Psalm 88 affirms the reality of the wintertime cry, even for those who are in Christ, as we say, even for those who sing in God's choir, even for those who are preachers, and even for those who are hard rock oilmen. And so the first grace of this psalm, this wintertime cry, is that God, who so mysteriously seems to be absent, is also a God whose word understands and knows what it's like. But there's more. For when we hear this psalm, we must not miss the fight. The words of Psalm 88 are fighting words. And, you know, the psalmist here is in an epic battle for his life, and he's in an epic battle for his life with God. Maybe you can recall, and this is going back a few years, maybe a decade or two, the old movie Forrest Gump. And maybe you can recall the scene where Lieutenant Dan is high up in the crow's nest. Lieutenant Dan is a veteran of the Vietnam War, and both during and after that war, many Vietnam veterans and soldiers felt abandoned by their country. They felt cursed by their wounds and by the neglect of their country. And some, like Lieutenant Dan, also felt abandoned by God. And so one night, with two legs amputated because of the war, Lieutenant Dan makes his way up high into the crow's nest of a fishing boat. And high up in that crow's nest of that fishing boat, Lieutenant Dan hurls out his darkness at God. And through the night he cries out, and through the night he pours out his bewildering pain. And like Psalm 88, Lieutenant Dan that night fights for his life, and he fights with God. The psalmist describes all of his darkness. He gives it all to God. He accuses God. God, you have done this to me. And he questions God, why have you done this to me? And the psalmist pours out his despair. He pours out his darkness. He pours out his desolation. It's like God has dumped his wrath upon him. And the psalmist does not for one moment think that it's fair. The psalmist, you know, this prayer is like a pitchfork. The questions in verses 10, 11, and 12, you know, poke and prod at God like a pitchfork. They poke and prod at all the sensibilities of God. What good is my death? What good is my despair? Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness and destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? In other words, the question is, what kind of a God are you anyhow? What kind of a God are you anyhow to leave me in despair? How can my despair, my depression, my hopelessness ever speak of your wonders? How could they ever speak of your faithfulness? How can my destruction and oblivion ever say one good thing about your righteousness? It's a pretty courageous prayer. And after this prayer, the psalmist ends by closing the door in the face of God. My only friend is darkness. And after the door closes, there's only silence. And the only shred of hope, the only shred of hope that the psalmist has and that we have is that God himself will be affected. The only hope is that God himself will be affected by the darkness, by the sadness, by the despair and the questions and the closing door and the silence. Our only hope, our only prayer is that God himself will be affected. It's all we have to hang on to. That God himself will be affected by our wintertime cry. That he will hear and understand, and that he will be moved to action. And here the psalmist shows that he knows something about God. For if there is one thing that God cannot and will not allow, it is the victory of darkness. If there is one thing that God cannot and will not allow, it is the victory of despair. Just outside the ancient city of Jerusalem, there is a body hanging in a shroud of fog-like darkness. Roman soldiers have done their mean and violent work of mockery and execution. And now the man hangs alone. There is no one who is now with him, not his friends, not his family, not his follower, and not even his Father God. There is nothing but silence and darkness and empty sky. And it is up into that empty sky that this man still prays. And when he prays with every single one of us in every dark moment that we have ever known. It is his voice that prays out of our darkness. Why, Lord, do you reject me? And why do you hide your face from me? Why have you forsaken me? And why is darkness my only friend? The man descends into the darkness of Psalm 88, and so he comes to know in himself, he comes to understand in himself fully what it's like. What it's like to be on your knees in the Arctic darkness. What it's like to be filled with emptiness and despair. What it's like to cry out into a black sky. He knows what it's like. You have to wonder about that prayer and that question. Why did God the Father forsake his Son? Why did he leave him? Why did God become the Deus absconditus, the absent God? Maybe it was simply to show us that there's no darkness that is beyond God. That God has gone down into the darkness himself, and that he will be affected by our wintertime cry. But maybe there's something more. Maybe it's because God had to show us one more thing. Maybe it's because God wanted to really answer those questions. For I can tell you that one other thing happened with that man hanging there, shrouded in darkness. I can tell you that one more thing happened, something I cannot explain, but somehow, in some way, this man, he left behind his grave clothes. And he walked out of that world of darkness, and all those questions were answered. Does God show his wonders to the dead? Yes, he does. Do those who are dead rise up to praise him? Yes, they do. Is God's love declared in the grave? Loud and clear. Are the wonders of God known in the place of darkness? Yes, they are. They are. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me lead you in a prayer. God, we want to confess to you that this is a hard and difficult psalm. It almost overwhelms us now with its darkness and sadness. And so grant us the grace to be mindful of those who might be suffering in this way. Grant us the ability to be gracious even to ourselves, as we may have experienced some of this in our own body and mind. Lord, it's beyond our imagining, beyond our comprehension, how willing you were to go down into this place so that you might answer these questions clearly and loudly, and that you are the God who will not and cannot allow the victory of darkness and despair. We thank you so much that you are a God who understands fully what it's like to be human. And we pray that you would take our hand as we take yours, and that you would walk us carefully and gently and gracefully into the land of the living. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.